Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
I preface this David Culley answer to a question yesterday with just some data. The Texans have not scored a touchdown on the road since there were 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the Cleveland game in week two. Someone gave me this stat yesterday. I forget who to credit it to. I got a text, and my apologies. The Astros have played 23 baseball games since the last time the Texans have scored a touchdown on the road. So that's an interesting stat. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why that one really just hits different. That's
23 baseball games.
Yeah. 23 baseball games, yeah. And they've won many more on the road than the Texans have so far.
Yeah. So I preface this answer from David Culley about how Davis Mills has been playing with those historically bad stats. They've been outscored 102-8 in their three road starts with Davis Mills. And by the way, that 8 was not a touchdown and a two-point conversion. That 8 was two field goals and a safety. Here was David Culley yesterday when he was asked, how's Davis Mills playing?
Davis has been fine. I've been happy with Davis. When he has protected the ball, he's done everything that we've asked him to do. Yesterday we had a sack fumble that happened that he's got to be able to protect the ball on. But other than that, he's been handling the offense the way we want it handled. There's been some things that we needed him to do that he hasn't done, but that's what some rookies do. But for the most part, I've been very happy with how he's handled things.
Okay. Look, I know you're not going to throw your rookie under the bus. There's no way that you can tell the fans of the Texans you're very happy with your quarterback play when you've scored zero touchdowns on the road since week two. If you're happy with Davis Mills' level of play, then you are asking Davis Mills to do the wrong things. You know, like Seth, if he's fine, he's doing what we're asking him to do, then you're asking him to do the wrong things because you've generated 8 points of offense, and two of those points were generated by Jacob Martin sacking Kyler Murray in the end zone. That answer is if I'm a Texan fan and I hear that answer, assuming I still care, I'm angry at that answer right now.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit torn because I don't think there's a single coach in the NFL right now that would have the Texans playing winning football with Davis Mills as their quarterback. You know, it's not like I'm going to hold David. Now, could other coaches be doing better? Certainly. You could say that about a lot of situations. But I think when it comes to Davis Mills, the frustrating thing is I think some people would rather go down swinging instead of just conceding that, okay, we're just going to, you know, we're going to dink and dunk and have 4.2 yards per attempt like the Texans did versus Arizona. 4.2. So for those of you, like, usually yards per attempt, you want it somewhere north of 7. You know, then it varies. Some guys are more aggressive, some guys aren't. But usually you want it at least somewhere around 7 yards per attempt. Davis Mills has only been above 6 yards per attempt once this entire season versus New England, which was like the weird oddity of a performance where everything else has been extremely conservative. Sean, the third down stuff alone, David Johnson was the target or the ball carrier on 6 of the 13 third downs in that football game. David Johnson, that's your go-to weapon on third downs, is either handing the ball off or dumping it off to him on a screen or something. I mean, this is, they're not, it's, it's hard to say that they're actually trying to win football games. Like, I mean, it's, I don't think, and it is the thing. It's not like they're going in trying to lose. It's that they're not taking any risks or chances at all, and they're still getting their doors blown off.
Yeah.
At the very least, if you're going to get your doors blown off, try to do something. Like, just go for it somehow. And these screens, oh my gosh. I'm watching last night, and I'm watching Jameis Winston turn into whatever, I don't know whatever Jameis Winston is this year. But like, he's got Alvin Kamara running screens very effectively. Guys are blocking on the screens. The defense doesn't seem to know exactly when the screens are coming. So like, even the simple stuff they try to do with Davis Mills, they can't do right because they can't execute a screen properly.
David Culley, and I'll put Tim Kelly in here too because he's the one calling the plays, but Culley is the one setting the tone. They act like if you don't turn the ball over, you automatically win the football game.
That's we could just not have penalties now, right?
Right. Yeah. No. If I
hear it's all about penalties and turnovers.
Yeah,
apparently,
that's
the key to winning.
If I could hear about penalties one more time, like this is what's ailing this team. That never once does David Culley talk about how these coaches don't put these guys in a position at all to be successful at all. You just illustrated it perfectly, Seth. They're not calling plays that allow them to get any sort of chunk plays. And look, I get it. The offensive line isn't very good, but my God, if you're just dinking and dunking, especially with this running attack, which can't get you more than 2 or 3 yards a carry, you got no shot. There is, David Culley, if you're listening, there is not a 100% correlation to not turning the ball over and winning football games. I think we've learned that. If we just don't turn the ball over, we're going to win football games. Not the case, and you're coaching it that way. And I would put that on the defensive side of the ball, too, with putting them in a position to be successful. Lovie Smith just lines up in his, you know, Tampa 2, cover 2, whatever it is, and does nothing before the snap. Like, here it is, boys. This is what we're lining up in. Fire away. That's how A.J. Green winds up right there in that nice little pocket down near the goal line on 3rd and 24. David Culley cites these things in the box score. We can just stop getting penalties, and if we just don't turn the ball over, then we'll be more successful. No, they are poorly coached right now. They are not being put in a position. I don't know that they'd be successful anyway, Seth. They're not a good football team. But my God, 31-5, 40-0, 31-3, it's unacceptable.
Look, it's a bad football team. Yeah. I mean, Tyrod Taylor gives them at least some chance week in and week out to be a little bit more competitive. And it'll, at the very least, maybe run more of an actual NFL offense. The defensive stuff and the lack of disguise, which is like stuff you could get away with back in the year 2000.
Right.
It's just changed. If you know what coverage a team is running, it becomes a lot easier to play football. Imagine that. And I almost feel like the first few weeks of the season, teams were starting to wonder, like, okay, is this an ambush of some sort? Everything feels a little too simple and easy. Now that you've got 7 games of film on it and you know exactly what the Texans are going to do, it's a lot simpler to just go out and attack them and figure out when is Lonnie Johnson going to be a liability, and that's probably not going to get any prettier unless they figure out a way to just be a little bit more complex in their defense.
There were two answers David Culley had yesterday that got me heated. The one was the one you just heard about. Davis Mills has been fine. Okay. The other one was when he was asked if the losses are beginning to weigh on him as they pile up.
It does not weigh on me because I've been there. And I know that if you stay the course and you get the things corrected that needs to be corrected, it will get turned around. And I believe that. I believe that simply because I've been there and I've done that. And this football team knows I've been there and done that. And they believe in what we're preaching. They believe in where we're going. And I feel like that's not an issue at all.
Been there and done what? Been there and done that? Like, he's acting like he's been a head coach for 3 different teams that have had to pull out of a nosedive. He's 7 games into his head coaching career. Like, been there, and I don't want to diminish what he's accomplished as an assistant coach. He's been around the league for a long, long time. So I'm not saying that what he's done as far as a career goes, there are thousands of coaches that would trade their career for David Culley's. I'm not trying to diminish that one bit. But been there and done. The guys should be looking to me because I've been there and done that. You've been a position coach for a bunch of different teams. There's never been a time in your career where you've been responsible for pulling a team out of a nosedive. And I can tell you, and I think people who run businesses would say the same thing, the worst thing you can do is just continue to bang your head against the wall doing the exact same thing.
But I guess I'm struggling to find what the answer is, or just for what.
Throw the ball further than 15 yards down the field. How's that for a start?
I'm saying, so what do you want to hear from him in press conference is what I'm saying. Because you're critical of the way he's talking about the...
You know what I want to hear? I'll tell you what I want to hear on both of those answers. I want some criticism of Davis Mills is what I want. Uh-huh. Or some criticism of somebody. If Davis Mills is doing fine, then who is failing, Seth? Because they scored 8 points in 3 road games. That's what I want to hear. You know what I want to hear with that second answer? Is we're going to try some different things. They're not going to bring up Scotty Phillips from the practice squad again this week. Like
really what you're getting at is you want David Culley to call out Nick Caserio. Because, I mean, this is the there's only so much you can do with the guys that are out there on that football field. I mean, with the offensive line that you're rotating through there, with your wide receiving core, with your tight ends, like all these just kind of workaday type of dudes, there's only so much you can do. Plus, with a third-round quarterback who has started – has he started 20 total games since high school yet? There's really only so much you can do. A lot of the stuff that they'd like to do, they just can't with a rookie quarterback. So, I mean, that's where it comes down to really what you want David Culley to do. And it's hard to do this for 17 straight weeks, is get up there and say, look, you guys know the deal. This team sucks. And there's only so much. That's why they hired me, because I could be a good custodian of suck. And that's why, and this is what you're going to get for 11 more weeks or however many.
Don't get me wrong. I fully understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And would I want him to do that? Absolutely, I would. I'm in radio. If he got up and said this team sucked, it would be the most amazing Tuesday ever. Absolutely. I don't know when it wears on the players. I don't know when it wears on certain fans. Whatever it is, I'm at the breaking point of everything's beautiful. Everything's fine. We're just going to stay the course.
It's a point that Landry's made really well, I think, this week. It's how do you establish a culture? I don't see how you can establish a culture while you're getting your heads caved in every week. Because no matter what Jack Easterby is telling you about this is a positive culture, that's a positive culture, or what have you, or how much David Culley sprinkles his magical positivity dust over everything, everything is reinforced as bad when you're getting your heads caved in.
Right.
So, like, whatever they claim they're doing positive from a culture standpoint, it might actually – they are probably doing a lot of really good stuff and implementing a lot of good procedures. But as far as it filtering down to the players, at some point it just turns into, like, man, stuff sure does suck around here.
Right.
And it doesn't really turn around until you start winning games. Like, look at the Astros. The Astros, Bud Norris was criticizing the Astros culture up and down. People around baseball thought it was awful. All of a sudden in 2015, they started winning. George Springer does a couple of little dances in the dugout, and boom, they've got a positive culture. Yeah. Like, man, winning is by far, like, culture is 80% winning, 5% PR campaign, and 15% dumb luck outside.
We're veering into the territory with these answers where they're pooping on our heads and asking, what do we think of the hat they just gave us?
I got you. That's where it gets you want to at least hear, like, okay, this is what Davis Mills needs to do better.
Yeah!
This is what you'd like to hear. We need Davis Mills to recognize, we need Davis Mills to get better in pass protection and recognizing blitz.
Yeah.
So he's not getting planted on his back like a sack of potatoes without even realizing it. There's that. We need him to at times hold on to a read a little bit longer so he can take the shots downfield that are there in the offense.
Yes.
For him. Just some level of specificity with the criticism.
Something that acknowledges that it's horrible right now. Just acknowledge that. No, we're going to stay the course, because I've been there and done that. Been there and done that. You're 7 games into your head. Been there and done what? You're 1-6 as a head coach, because you were a wide receivers coach and a quarterbacks coach at a bunch of other places. You've been there and done that.
You've been there and done that. When did you do that? The previous 5 weeks.
All right. Back to the ad. You know what? One quick Charlie Morton text just to get me feeling better. Reasons to hate Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton microwaves fish and broccoli in the break room. There you go.
I didn't even realize
Seth and I are trying to find reasons to hate the least hateable person on the planet. Game 1 Atlanta starter Charlie Morton.
No wonder they didn't match Tampa's offer of just about nothing back in 2017.
That's right. Ross Tucker joins us at the bottom of the hour. Up next, back to the Astros. How will they handle one of the key issues? Anytime you're in a World Series, there is a key issue, especially for this team, that needs to be handled. How will the Astros handle one of the most key things for this series? We'll discuss next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, by far the thing that's gotten the most reaction today on the show is you guys helping us try to find reasons to hate Charlie Morton. Keep texting those in, 713-572-4610. Here was James Click a couple of days ago talking about Kyle Tucker playing center field. The key here to remember, National League ballpark, games 3, 4, and possibly 5. The Astros are going to need to, if they want to have Yordan Alvarez, Michael Brantley, both in the lineup, they're going to need to find a way to juggle the outfield. Here's James Click on Kyle Tucker playing center field.
It's a balance between offense and defense, right? I mean, I think Kyle Tucker can play a very good center field, but at the same time, Chaz McCormick has been unbelievable in center field. And Jake Myers, obviously, is able to go get it. Jose Siri is one of the best athletes out there. And so it's going to be a balance between offense and defense, and we'll have to figure that out. And we may let the game dictate it. We may start one way, and then if the game goes a certain way, we pivot, you know, halfway through the game or later in the game.
Okay, one more from James Click. Here is James Click on acknowledging they actually went with that combo in National League ballparks a couple times this year. Here's James Click on the Yordan, Kyle Tucker, from left to right, Yordan, Kyle Tucker, Michael Brantley outfield combo.
I think they handled it very well, but anytime we're putting guys in a position that they've rarely been in a season, we got to make sure that we've covered everything and make sure that we anticipated communication, coordination out there. So we're going to talk to Gary Pettis. We might have Gary be pretty busy over the next couple of days.
All right, so there you go. Seth, how do you feel about a Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Michael Brantley outfield?
I don't feel awesome about it. The question becomes, okay, how do you feel about the trade-off, which is having those bats in the lineup? And I think that's the big thing, isn't it?
It's about the delta between Michael Brantley's bat and Chaz McCormick / Jose Siri's bat.
These guys, the three pitchers, the three starting pitchers that are the studs for the Braves, Morton, Fried, and Anderson, they're not like Framber necessarily, but they don't put the ball in the air a lot. So, sometimes that means like they've got lower launch angles. So that means, okay, that could be line drives to the outfield, but it's also a lot of ground balls. So hopefully it doesn't matter as much. Like, without getting too stat nerdy about this, Sean, but Framber Valdez's launch angle. This is way too stat nerdy. Never mind.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, no.
What? Let me ask you this. Yeah. What?
No, Framber had the lowest launch angle out of 129 pitchers, but Charlie Morton, Fried, and Anderson all were like 18th or lower.
I love how you stopped yourself, but you still couldn't resist getting that stat out there.
I was about to read the angles off, but better to say for angles, right. for rankings, you can say that. Okay, these guys all don't put the ball in the air a ton, so it might not matter as much in this matchup. The other thing that I would say too is that when you think about just tonight's matchup, I'd go with the Astros fielding over the Braves fielding or any other team's fielding in the league. And I just don't – I think that that balances out a little bit of what you might worry about in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, we're talking about games 3 and 4 and possibly 5 here when we're talking about having to go with this outfield combination. They'll be fine games 1 and 2. They can keep doing what they've been doing. They'll march out. They'll march out the same lineup, maybe a little tweak here or there. You know, they switch Yuli and Kyle Tucker sometimes. They do a little flipping and flopping. We don't know who's going to start in center field. The roster itself will be set by 10 a.m. this morning for this World Series. That, to me, is the bigger thing, is what's the overall roster going to look like. As far as the combination of Yordan, Kyle Tucker, and Michael Brantley in the outfield, it's weird because I think of those three, Kyle Tucker is clearly the best outfielder. He's the youngest. He's the most athletic at this point of those three in terms of outfield athleticism, defensive athleticism. I think I'm more concerned about Tucker in center field than I am Brantley in right field. Like, I know what Brantley is in right field, and I think he'll be solid. He's not going to cover a ton of ground out there, but oh well. Center field's sort of a different deal. I mean, you're covering more ground. You're sort of the captain out there. So I'm a little more concerned about Kyle Tucker. Not massively concerned, but just a little more concerned about Tucker in center field than I am Brantley in right field. I'm mildly concerned about just the overall combination. Now, one thing Michael Brantley said we shouldn't be concerned about is Yordan Alvarez playing left field.
If you would have saw how hard he was working in spring training just to get back, and then on top of that, how hard he was working, you know, in the outfield as well. That was his whole goal. He was building his body up and getting back to where he needed to be to play the outfield. He's been doing a phenomenal job, and he's going to do well this series as well.
The one thing I can guarantee you is Yordan Alvarez will start in left field. That's I don't know where Kyle Tucker's going to start or if Michael Brantley's going to start or who the center fielder is going to be. Oddly enough, the one guy I can guarantee you where he will start and that he will start is the guy who has probably definitely started the least amount of outfield games this year, because Yordan Alvarez's bat cannot be removed from this lineup. He will be your starting left fielder in games 3, 4, and 5 of this series.
I thought you were telling me like he will definitely start in left field as opposed to him starting at center field, which if
that would be something.
If Dusty had some gonads, Sean, he'd go ahead and do that.
I know.
You know what's funny is you were saying that, though. You had found that article from thecrawfishboxes.com.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right. I'm trying to find it right now.
You had it up. You had it up top earlier, and I had written it down. Dang it. You're right.
I found it. Okay, yeah. Here, when someone tweeted at me after the ALCS, a very funny tweet. His name's Joe, and on Twitter he said, Josh Fields, ALCS MVP, which I thought was hilarious. For those who don't recall or didn't know this, Yordan Alvarez, the Astros got him in 2016 in a trade with the Dodgers for middle reliever, not even a good middle reliever, Josh Fields. They got Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields, one of the all-time heists, at least thus far, in the history of baseball. I Googled Yordan Alvarez trade just to see what the reports were back in 2016, the day of the trade. This is not to pick on the Crawfish Boxes, who do a great job of covering the Astros, but this was the article that they had on their website back on the day of the trade deadline in 2016. In another pretty lackluster move at the deadline, the Astros announced they traded reliever Josh Fields to the Dodgers for Cuban outfielder Yordan Alvarez. Oh, sorry, Alvarez is an outfielder. So basically, just a player.
Don't read that guy's name. He doesn't deserve whatever.
No. It's the only article that came up when I Googled it. They were not alone, just to be clear.
Right. But you wonder with Yordan, like, how long had he been struggling with those knee issues? Because he had partial tears in both patellar tendons. And sometimes, like, I played with that as a football player for several years before they finally figured out what it was, because it doesn't always show up on an MRI. And that was brutal. So he might have had that issue for more than just a year or two, and that affected people's evaluation of him. Because the Dodgers had no use for a guy that was just a DH,
right.
Obviously.
Yep.
At least by the rules of the game back then. I do feel the whole Yordan thing balances out the J.D. Martinez thing in the universe.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it.
Every time I see JD Martinez with the Red Sox, I'm like, okay, yeah, but you know what? You know what? They could have easily not traded for Yordan, and it would have just been goodbye forever.
I like that. I never thought of it that way. That is a very healthy way to look at the whole sequencing of the events. When you watch JD Martinez putting up MVP numbers in Boston, just know that if he were still here, Yordan Alvarez would probably not be in our lives, and Yordan is several years younger than JD Martinez. Payne and Pendergast with you. On a Tuesday, Ross Tucker's going to join us in the next segment. A quick reminder, about 18 minutes from now is when the window opens for you to win tickets to the Texans and the Rams on Sunday. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday exclusively here on Sports Radio 6. And you want to get tickets to the game, HoustonTexans.com/tickets to get tickets to that game on Halloween on Sunday between the Rams and the Texans. We'll get Ross Tucker's thoughts on the Deshaun Watson trade rumors. Would he do a deal if he were the GM in Miami or Carolina? Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joins us next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A reminder, in about 12 or 13 minutes, thereabouts, the window will open. You'll hear a sounder between 7:45 and 8 a.m. You can win tickets to Texans Rams this Sunday at NRG Stadium. Right now, joining the show is our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Hey, Ross, I know you do, you call a lot of Army games. Were you on that Army game with Wake Forest this weekend? That was bananas.
I was. It was awesome. Very unexpected. Army's defense is usually awesome, and they run the ball. They usually have like 12-minute drives, like 17 plays, 12-minute. I mean, to have a score 70-56, there were 18 touchdowns scored in the game.
That's crazy.
I mean, Army was like running for long touchdowns, and Wake Forest is – really impressive. Like, they legitimately might be the best team in the ACC. Their quarterback and receivers, they literally, Wake Forest does something offensively that I've never seen anybody else do. You know, like the RPOs and the quarterback puts the ball in the running back's belly?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen this. Wake Forest, the running back and quarterback just kind of stay with each other for like two full seconds.
Yeah.
So like the offensive line doesn't fire off the ball, and the quarterback just holds the ball in the running back's belly. They both kind of like hop forward, but it gives them the quarterback so much more time to identify coverage, see if there's a hole for the run game, or to then pull it and throw it. I mean, I'm shocked nobody else does it. Like, it's very rare you see a game or you call a game and you can say they have invented something new in the sport of football that nobody else is doing, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ross, I'm glad you brought that up because you do a lot of college games, and obviously you do a lot of NFL games. So you're one of these people, kind of like we have John Harris here and Andre Ware here who do the same, and they kind of get you get a better feel and appreciation for how the games are different. And I'm wondering, what is it like for you when you watch these college games, and especially what they're able to do with the RPOs and all in the QB running attacks and all of that? When you watch NFL quarterbacks now, are you kind of frustrated at times? Like, I get frustrated because I watch Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, when he's executing his fakes, he is 100% full bore into it. Like, with torso bend and riding the running back through the handoff and all that stuff. And then I see some other guys that are basically just doing, like, going through the motions on stuff.
It's a really good point. You know, I guess what I would tell you is Brady never goes through the motions. Peyton Manning never went through the motions. Like, I think some of those guys don't understand that those fakes, making everything look the same, it really, really matters a great deal. It makes a big difference in the picture for the guys on defense. And that's one thing I would say I like more about college is at times there are some, you know, like Army runs the option. Like, it's cool to see on tape, like you're watching the end zone copy. It's cool to see different things. Whereas in the NFL, it's really very similar. You know what I mean? Like, it's and even in college, everybody's like, a lot of people are 11 personnel, a lot of zone read RPOs, but Wake Forest is different in how they do it. Army's different in how they do it. So it's kind of cool. Speaking of that, Seth, do you know what happens Friday night?
Is that Cornell Princeton on a Friday night?
Cornell Princeton on ESPNU. Friday night on TV. I kind of feel like we should make a friendly wager.
Oh, it's where the hell am I going to find a Princeton jersey?
I'm a little nervous, though, because Princeton just won in five overtimes against Harvard. They were both undefeated. So classic letdown spot for the Tigers. I'm trying.
Oh, you call me a trap
tell,
game?
I'm
calling me a trap
to
game? You son of
already.
A bitch. You elitist bastard. You Princeton Tiger.
Just
Yeah. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out.
Yes.
But you know what? Maybe one of the callers or one of your listeners can come up with a good friendly wager bet for Seth and I.
Okay.
Maybe next week I have to, like, sing the Cornell fight song or come up with something.
I like that. Yeah, no, text in 713-572-4610. The texters are feeling it today, creativity-wise. So, yeah, text in 713-572-4610. Ross Tucker joining us for his weekly visit. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. So let's shift over to some NFL stuff. Ross, just curious, the Deshaun Watson trade rumors are back in our lives for this week. We'll have resolution on this one way or the other by next Tuesday because that's a trade deadline. Would you do a deal right now for Deshaun Watson if you were the GM in Miami or Carolina?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. A couple things. Number one, I saw where Ian Rappaport said yesterday that Deshaun Watson would not go on the commissioner's exempt list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to let him play because they don't want to get involved when it's, I guess, quote unquote, just civil lawsuits, unless it's criminal and there's a conviction or unless it's felony. They're not going to, I think they're all about precedent and, you know, obviously, whatever it is, 22, 23 civil lawsuits is a lot, but where do you draw the line? You know, because, you know, there could be a lot of civil lawsuits out there then. If any time a civil lawsuit's levied, you put the guy in commissioner's exempt list, then what do you do there? So I thought that was very interesting. because both the Panthers and the Dolphins could, I suppose, attempt to turn around their season. I think the more interesting thing there might be, do you do it if you're the Texans? Because, like, whatever draft picks, whatever you're going to get from Carolina, well, if you give them Deshaun Watson, they're not going to be as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to win more games. So what I don't really understand what the value is for the Texans of doing it now, other than just getting it over with, stop having it hanging over the organization and not have to pay Deshaun, you know, $5 million or whatever for the rest of this year. But I think, you know, there's a lot of buzz now. I don't know. You get to tell me if you think it's going to happen or not. I just know this, and I actually wrote about this week. I posted it this morning at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Facebook. The last two Sundays have been very, very good for the Houston Texans from a Deshaun Watson trade value standpoint. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold's been terrible, and he got benched, and the Panthers have lost. Tua Tagovailoa hasn't been terrible. He's actually been okay, but he's had three critical interceptions that were the difference in the games. And we might have talked about this last week, but can you guys imagine being like Stephen Ross? You're 81 years old. You're worth $9 billion. Or David Tepper, who's the richest owner, the Panthers owner. Stephen Ross, people don't know, is the Dolphins owner. Like, these guys can literally, like, press a button and get on their private plane to Fiji within an hour if they want to. But they can't get a quarterback, and they can't win a championship. They have everything else they want in life other than the quarterback, which gives them a chance at a championship. I just think that they're going to be aggressive to get. They want them.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good way to put perspective on it, Ross. I think when you talk about Stephen Ross being 81 years old and a billionaire and accustomed to getting what he wants, and it's that one thing. I mean, that Tom Brady football, that 600th football, is supposedly worth somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million. Like, there's somebody out there that would pay $1 million just to have a piece of leather that was in a regular season game, and then you start to amp that up to, okay, what would a billionaire do to get a quarterback and get a championship? I think that's where the desperation comes in, and that's where I think – yeah, when people say, well, why would anybody trade for Deshaun when it might have all these PR implications, or then he might lose time, I think it's just simple desperation. It's just that those teams get to the spot where that's what they want, and they're willing to sacrifice a lot to get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can already picture it, right? They trade for him. They're like, you know, we're aware of his legal situation, and if things come to light that he's not able to play, then we will face the consequences. But you know, we believe in innocent until proven guilty. This is America. Like, I can already hear what they would say. I was reading up on these guys for the story I wrote. And again, I encourage people to check it out. I posted it to my social media at Ross Tucker NFL. David Tepper, okay, he worked at Goldman Sachs, and he got passed over for a promotion. So when he eventually started his own hedge fund and became like a multi-billionaire, he bought the house of his former Goldman Sachs boss and tore it down and built another one twice as big on the same land.
I love that.
He was quoted in the article I wrote, in the article I read, not the one I wrote, he was quoted as saying, you know, every once in a while somebody will piss me off, like a waiter at a restaurant, and I'll think, you know, I could just buy this place and fire this guy. That was an actual quote from David. Like, these are the people we're dealing with, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
actually an interesting point. Like, in baseball, Sean, you know baseball more than me. But in baseball, you're allowed to, like, just trade cash, right? Like, just money?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, like, the CBA rules and stuff like that. But, yeah, you can purchase players, I think. I don't know what the parameters
are. Because I'm just wondering, like, can you even imagine – like, let's say the Texans didn't really want draft picks, right? They didn't want, like, veteran players. Let's say Cal McNair just wanted money. I would love – and there's, like, no cap on it.
Yeah.
I would love to see, like, what kind of check Tepper or Stephen Ross would write just to have just to get the rights to Deshaun Watson.
That's fascinating.
Like, no draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, just money. Like, how much money would those guys pay – to get it's almost don't they do that in soccer?
Soccer
it's
is
soccer,
what I was thinking.
Right?
Yeah,
soccer,
the soccer is where they just flat out buy somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
That seems like what we should be doing in 2021, where you can just pay money for a human being.
Where are you on this? Because this is the interesting part. After Aaron Rodgers didn't get traded, even though he's probably going to get traded, but a lot of people wanted to say, well, you see, there you have it. NFL players don't actually have the leverage to get themselves up and moved out of there. And to which I thought, like, well, I've seen it with Dwayne Brown and Jalen Ramsey and other players. But people said, well, no, like, Aaron Rodgers couldn't get it done, so nobody could get it done. So now Deshaun Watson asked for a trade, and a lot of the same people were saying the same things. Like, well, nope, Texans won't trade him because that's not the way it works. They've got all the control. They've got all the power. And it looks like he's probably going to get traded at some point. Is this evidence that Deshaun actually did have the power, or is this just a matter of, well, it got really, really sloppy and ugly, so the Texans maybe would have wanted to trade him anyway?
You know, I don't know. It'd be awesome to be in an alternate universe and have no legal implications for Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. so we could see how it would have played out. You know what I mean? I would love to have seen how things would have unfolded if Deshaun didn't have all these legal issues. Let me ask you guys this. Are Texans fans going to be angry if he's not traded by November 2nd, or do they not really care? Like, is there a clamoring of, let's get this done, let's get this trade over with, or are they like, yeah, I don't really care. I mean, he's going to get traded, but if you wait till after the season, I don't care.
I think the most vocal, this is just my sense, Seth, I don't know if you, I think the most vocal fans are ready to move on from Deshaun Watson. That they want to get it. They want to get a deal done. Now, here's the thing, Ross. If this is being driven from the Dolphins being desperate to trade for him, then presumably you're going to get near what Nick Caserio wants for him. If it's being driven by the Texans just wanting to move on from the drama of Deshaun, then that's a recipe to get 50 cents on the dollar. So I think that's something that's a huge thing hanging over all this, which is, what are they going to get for him? This is their only chance to accelerate the rebuild of this team, is to trade Deshaun Watson. So I got that.
Yeah, so I think the organization, I think the sooner they trade him, the better. I think the organization sort of needs closure, sort of needs to turn the page and be like, okay, that's over. Now we're moving on. We got this in return. You know, who's going to be the next quarterback, et cetera. And the key for what you just said, the key for the Texans, though, is Joseph Person, who is a beat writer for the Carolina Panthers, has been for a long time, tweeted that league and team sources expect the Panthers to be involved in Deshaun Watson. So, like, there's two now, and there's two owners. I think they might be the two richest owners. They're used to getting what they want, and I can just picture them, you know, just going back and forth. I hope it does happen, because I'm kind of tired of talking about it. I want to see what the trade's for. And I kind of want to see Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I'm mixed emotions about it, but it would be really interesting to see what it's like if Deshaun Watson's actually out on the field this year. I mean, that opens up a whole different can of worms and talking points.
Ross, the Texans play the Dolphins in week 9. Like, literally 5 days after the trade deadline, the Texans and the Dolphins play in Miami. so there is that. So we'll see what happens. Ross Tucker, our NFL insider, Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL, here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, Ross, we always enjoy it. We'll talk next week.
See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Ross. Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL, if you want to find him on Twitter. What's so funny?
Ross puts a smile on my face. He's like your crazy uncle when he shows up.
Let me ask you guys something.
You know, the one thing that I wanted to tell him, because he'd asked, one of the questions he had asked us was about, you know, the benefit or the wisdom of trading now versus later for the Texans. And one of the big things in my mind, the thing that I think about if I put myself in Nick Caserio's shoes, is, okay, we have the best offer now. Potentially the best offer would be in the spring for a lot of different reasons, unless there are criminal charges filed.
Yes, something happens.
We just don't know. That grand jury, Supposedly, they were going to present it to a grand jury. I mean, that's been well over a couple months now since we first had that report. So we don't know exactly what's going on with the criminal process.
There is to me, as a Texan fan, there is an acceptable price, an acceptable cost to getting rid of that risk. You know, if it was 3 firsts and 2 seconds for Deshaun with no legal stuff going on, to me, if it becomes 2 firsts and 2 seconds, but you're out from underneath the possibility of another shoe dropping with Deshaun, that might be worth it to not have that. Let that be the Dolphins' problem.
I would imagine that is obviously the big thing that's probably holding anything up, is that the Texans want reassurances, but the Dolphins want reassurances too. Yeah. The Dolphins are going to take on a whole bunch of risk that the Texans are getting rid of.
Yep.
And usually you don't buy risk at a high price.
Right.
It's a high risk, high reward, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're Bill O'Brien, you do. But anybody else, you... all right, a reminder, we're inside the window right now for you to win Texans tickets. Between now and the top of the hour, we're going to give away tickets to the Rams and the Texans this Sunday at NRG Stadium, Week 8. And so be on the lookout for that. Big congrats to Kevin, who won the tickets in the first hour of the show. Hey, Dan Matthews, our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610. He's with 680 The Fan in Atlanta now. That's the Braves flagship. He's going to join us at the top of the hour to help break down this series. In the meantime, let's get a few headlines in here.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by PaywayJeep.com.
I will talk more about all the wrinkles going on with Game 1 of the World Series tonight and the series itself. We'll talk more about that at the top of the hour with Dan Matthews. As far as news items go surrounding the World Series, confirmation yesterday on something that I think most of us anticipated. Lance McCullers will not be pitching in the World Series. The forearm strain that he suffered in the ALDS is a more serious injury. It's a more serious injury than maybe originally thought right after he sustained it. It's not serious enough to where it should impact his 2022 season. Here is Lance McCullers meeting with the media yesterday.
Not going to be able to make it. Not going to make it to the roster for the World Series with the type of strain that I have in my forearm. It's typically a 6 to 8 week before you pick up a ball. We remained hopeful. You know, we tried to push it as far as we could, but just couldn't make it back to throwing. So it's disappointing, but you know, I'm just gonna keep doing what I can do and have all the faith in our team and the guys that we have out there and try to win a World Series.
All right, so that's Lance McCullers. So Seth, now the Astros go into this series with Framber Valdez, Game 1 starter, Luis Garcia, presumably Game 2 starter. Although Dusty said he's not revealing anything until after the game, so he's employing a little bit of gamesmanship. Jose Urquidy has not pitched in a while. So maybe, I guess, just to get Jose Urquidy back on some sort of track, maybe he starts Game 2. If it's me, I'm starting Luis Garcia in Game 2. You know, Jose Urquidy's already into a span where he hasn't pitched in several days. What's 2 more days? Whereas Garcia is in that game he just pitched in Game 6 for you against Boston, seems like he's figured some things out, and he's much better in Minute Maid Park than he is on the road.
Keep that rolling.
Yes.
And
top
right now, don't overthink this. These are your best two pitchers. Just go ahead and get them out of the chute with as much opportunity as possible, that if you need them again, that those are the two guys you get. Urquidy just hasn't been the same guy since he got back from injury. You know, in September, October, on into the playoffs, he's got a 4+ ERA. And you just don't know what to feel about him. So yeah, for any kind of game, it would be one thing if Urquidy had been prime Urquidy leading into this series. Yep. I might think about keeping him, for Game 2 just because of the ballpark. But I just I don't see that right now.
Yeah, so I think it's Framber. My guess is Luis Garcia Game 2. I do think Urquidy will start Game 3 and then Game 4. I don't know. It wouldn't shock me. I don't know what the splits are with Greinke and the Braves or these particular hitters or Odorizzi and these particular hitters. If I just had to guess, just without looking at the splits and the players themselves, I would guess that he's going to go with something similar to what he did with Boston, where Greinke is the opener and you hope that you get 2 or 3 innings out of Greinke. And Javier's going to figure prominently in here somewhere, possibly before Game 4, but he figures in as well.
Yeah, I guess the until Odorizzi had to just come in emergency relief.
And Odorizzi's there also, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the question, is just how you feel about those guys right now. And it's worth pointing out, too, as I read people in L.A. talk about how unlucky the Dodgers were because of all their injuries, I would remind everybody that Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, really. I mean, he's not a starting pitcher, certainly. And Lance McCullers, three out. Of your highest payroll guys yep. and your best pitchers on this are not currently pitching, nor were they really, other than Greinke's minimal appearance in the AL in the ALCS, was not pitching either. It's astounding what this team has been able to do throughout all the adversity and injuries and whatnot.
Really throughout the 5 years, but you're absolutely right. When it comes to just churn within the pitching staff, but you're absolutely yeah. right. They in August, Seth, if someone had said, what's your playoff rotation stacking up to look like? You would have said, well, probably McCullers in game one, Greinke in game two, Framber in game three, and then game four it'll be Garcia or Urquidy, maybe Odorizzi, but those are your top three. Two of those three are basically null sets for you right now. McCullers is out, and Greinke may as well be one of your middle relievers at this point.
Yeah, and then you got the Dodgers over there saying, yeah, but our luck, we signed a known ass face in Trevor Bauer. Yeah. How would we have known that he would turn out to be an ass face?
Right.
It's so unfair.
Yeah. Whatever.
Cry me a river, Dodgers fans.
We'll talk more about the World Series in just a few minutes with Dan Matthews, host and producer, 680 The Fan, our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610. 680 The Fan in Atlanta, by the way, the Braves' flagship. Meanwhile, the Texans, David Culley, he met with the media yesterday. The Texans are on a six-game losing streak right now. In three road starts, Davis Mills has generated two field goals. The defense has generated 2 points. Davis Mills has generated 6 points in three games. David Culley, though, said yesterday, Davis is fine.
Davis has been fine. I've been happy with Davis. When he has protected the ball, he's done everything that we've asked him to do. Yesterday we had a sack fumble that happened that he's got to be able to protect the ball on. But other than that, he's been handling the offense the way we want it handled. There's been some things that we needed him to do that he hasn't done, but that's what some rookies do. But for the most part, I've been very happy with how he's handled things.
Okay, I remind you, two field goals in three road starts for Davis Mills. If he's handling everything you're asking him to do, you're asking him to do the wrong things. So this is on somebody here. We can't just – David Culley, you seem like a really, really good dude. We can't just whistle past the graveyard and act like two field goals in three road starts for any quarterback. I don't care if it's a seventh-round rookie or a third-round rookie or the top pick in the draft is somehow acceptable.
You know what I would say there, Sean? It's almost an admission that the coaches don't know what the hell to do either. That you can't generate any kind of offense when you're on the road because you've got a rookie quarterback and that's all you're asking to do. There are ways to generate, you know, forward movement in some capacity. I'll even give you a pass. I'll give you a pass on the ball on the Buffalo game. I don't know. Sean, it's the contrast between the Astros and the Texans right now make it almost impossible for me to even give the Texans the energy to get upset about them.
That is a really good point.
It's like an unruly child who's just an unruly child. For whatever reason, they've got their own challenges or issues or whatever. You don't get angry at them. You just have to try to manage them, and that's how I'm managing the Texans right now.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, Seth. Instead of getting angry about the Texans, let's read texts from people who are trying to get us to hate the least hateable human being on the planet, Charlie Morton. Text in 713-572-4610.
Something inherently hateable about being the least hateable person on the
planet.
That
is true. You know what? Hey. That's not the worst take in the world right there.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie Morton, take a stand every now and then, okay?
Yes.
All right? Instead of making people happy all the time, take a stand. Be polarizing.
Okay, this is a good one. Charlie Morton is the guy that goes to the toilet right next to you despite having 10 others that aren't being used, greets
totally
you with a handshake while you're both peeing, and tries to start a conversation.
Yeah, he asks for it and then asks you if you want a Charlie Morton autograph. Hey, I'm Charlie Morton. You want an autograph? That's exactly what Charlie Morton
Charlie Morton was the one in charge of ERCOT back in February.
I wouldn't put it past him, Sean.
Yeah.
He's a shady fella.
We're trying like hell to hate Charlie Morton. So keep texting those in, 713-572-4610. If you want in. By the way, your next chance to win Texans tickets will be between 8:45 and 9 o'clock today.
Just people, Charlie Morton takes a dump in your most used bathroom when he's visiting your home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.